Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
If you're seated, stand up. I want you to look around. Just look around. These are your brothers and sisters. Tell somebody you're glad to see them. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. Amen. Now give God a big shout for your life. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, God. You may be seated. You may be seated. We're going to be talking to you today some about being aware of the enemy's schemes. How many of you know that the enemy has schemes? He has plans. He has devices. He has all these things that he wants to steal, kill, and destroy if possible. And the Bible talks about that we should not be ignorant of his schemes. And matter of fact, Paul says we are not ignorant. Well, if we're not taught, if we haven't learned what the enemy's schemes are, we are ignorant. And that the ignorant is not that we don't know things. It means that we don't know things about that. And we're going to discuss that a little bit today. And it's not going to be a passage that you're not familiar with, because I want you to go to Genesis chapter 3. In your Bible, go to Genesis chapter 3. The other week we talked about, you know, his main objective is to keep us in the dark. You know, we're people of the light, but his main objective is to keep us in the dark, keep us unknowing, keep us as a people that don't know what to do, don't know what he's doing, and with no idea of how the enemy operates. You may say, well, Pastor, is this a study about the devil? No, not really. It's a study about his schemes. And some people say, well, I don't want to focus on the devil. And I said, well, it's not focusing on the devil, but the Bible focuses on the devil a little bit. If you start reading it, it tells you that he's like a roaring lion roaming about, seeking whom he may devour. So my question is, are you a whom? Because that's whom he's seeking. The whom he can devour. The person that he can take advantage of, get a foothold in their life. And that's what we need to be aware of. We need an awareness that is growing. Because how many of you know that if the fruit was an apple, he's moved on from apples. He uses a lot of different avenues, a lot of different things, a lot of different tricks, a lot of different things that he wants to cause us to give him an opening in our life. And so when we begin to see what God is up to in our lives, the enemy wants to spoil what God's up to. How many of you know that's a reality? The world that we live in today, the world is, and the culture is filled with things that are anti-God, anti-Christian, and don't want us to live in a way that represents him or that fulfills his glory on this earth. And that's the reality of where we are. And it can come a lot of different ways. And we're going to be talking about some of those ways that it comes and how we can prepare for it. But one of the ways we can prepare for it is to make sure that we see it and we understand it when it's happening. Amen? Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. It says, now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord had made, Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, it's almost like, really now? Really now? This serpent. It really, indeed. Has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? Notice that question. And the woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, you surely shall not die. For God knows that in that day you eat, from it your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was delight to her, to the eyes, delightful to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. That's not the end of the story. And she gave also to her husband with her. He was with her when this was going on. And he ate. See, this is one thing we need to understand right off, is that she was deceived. Eve was deceived and ate. Adam ate without being deceived. He willingly disobeyed. Through one man's disobedience, sin entered the world. She was deceived. Adam wasn't. I thought I'd get more out of that, especially from the women. I'm messing with you, really. But no, but that's the reality of it. And when you look at this, you begin to see that he ate. And then the Bible says in verse 7, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. Now, one of the things you need to understand, there's about 10 of them just in this passage that we can understand how the enemy works with schemes. I don't know if we'll get through them all today, probably won't, but we'll look at them. Number one, you need to understand that he will always question what God said. Number one, he will always question what God said. A lot of times you'll hear something from the Lord, and you'll hear it from the Word and the Spirit of God, and then the enemy will say, that's not true. How many of you have experienced that? He will always question what God has told you. And you remember Jesus was in a temptation. He was in 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, and Satan came to tempt him. And his temptation was about questioning what God said. Yeah, he brought the food in. He brought the stone and his hunger in. But his question was, he's questioning what God said. And what did God say at his baptism? The voice from heaven was the Father. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. What did Satan say? If you are the Son of God. And then he talked about the thing about the bread, and then he went on with the temptation. See, the temptation was to question God. So here's two things that he'll question God about. One, he'll just question God because God said it. Second thing, he'll question God about what he said about you. He'll question God. He'll get you to question God about what God said concerning you. See, that's the second thing. So what has God said concerning you? Give me one thing on this side. What has God said about you? I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. What else does God say about you? I'm a new, not an old, not a remodel, not a remake, but I'm a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. How about here? Anybody? What did God say about you? I can do all things with Christ. See, outside of Christ, we're nothing. With Christ, we're everything that he said we are. But when we start thinking we're not, that's when we're hearing the voice of the enemy. That's when we hear snake talk. And then we begin to talk snake language, our own, you know. What is snake language? It's doubting God. It's saying something that God's not saying, or twisting something that God has said. See, the enemy does not want you to believe what God said about you. And the reason for that is because as long as he's controlling the narrative, he's controlling you. So we don't want we don't want the enemy to control the narrative. We need to control the narrative by saying what God said, even about us. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. What did he say? Are y'all listening? Repeat it. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Who is that? Raise your hand. We've got to talk to some of these others, you know. See why? But that's what the Bible says. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You can't work to become righteous. You are. Why? Because he took your sinfulness and gave you his righteousness. Did someone come up? Someone ask? Somebody going to say something? Was that you, Vicky? No, it wasn't you. Okay. Well, I was wanting you to say something. I am more than a conqueror through Christ. See, we need to have those. Yes, sir. He gave us. Yeah. So you don't serve a limited God. You don't have limited resources. He's given you all the resources that you ever need. But why is that? Because he is the source. And he brings the resources. So the enemy's going to question God about what he said, and the enemy's going to question God about what he said about you. Yeah, I was eating with several pastors, and some of you know this, but I was eating with several pastors in the county, and sitting at the table, and one of the pastors said, "Well, I'm just a dirty old sinner, saved by grace." I looked at him. I said, "I'm not." What? I said, "I'm not. That's not who I am. That's who I used to be. But that's not who I am." "Well, who are you?" one of the pastors said. I said, "I'm a saint." I'm a saint. That's what Paul calls us. To the saints in Rome. Why is that? He looks at us the same way God looks at us. God doesn't see you as a dirty old sinner saved by grace. That's not who we are. We just said some things that God said about us that we need to say the same thing. We need to agree with God about what he says about us. Otherwise, we will begin to use the language of the snake. "You're not this. You'll never be this." So we need to discover what is God saying about you. How many of you are forgiven? That's what God says about you. He forgave you. He forgave you of all your sins. All right. I won't stay on that. So number three, he said, "Has God said?" But in the process of him saying, "Has God said?" Indeed. Indeed. Do you really mean to tell me? Indeed, has God said? Has anybody ever noticed that he left something out? You know what he left out? He left out the word Lord. Because earlier it said, "The Lord God said." The Lord God said. He didn't just say God said. He said, "The Lord God said." Do you think that's important? Yes. See, Satan will leave words out if you're not paying attention. Why is that important that he left? He didn't do that by accident. He did that by purpose. Here's the reason why. The word God is Elohim. It means supreme being, the one that's all powerful. But he left out Lord. What does Lord mean? Jehovah, the covenant God. The Lord is how he, that name, Lord, capital L-O-R-D, capital L-O, capital O, capital R, capital D, Lord, Jehovah. That means his relationship with man. That's how he reveals himself to man, as the Lord, as Jehovah. That's how he revealed himself to Moses. Isn't it amazing that he left the relational part out when he talked to Eve? Didn't want to talk about relationship. Which means sometimes he is okay with some God talk. As long as you don't talk relationship with God. He's all right with some God talk. Doesn't bother him. And it also tells us that we can be religious having God talk without being relational with the God we're talking about. Or the God we're talking to, or the God that talks to us. So he'll leave words out. He'll leave things out on purpose to so you will not recognize the fullness of who God is. The Lord God, because it said, the Lord God said. The Lord God said. He didn't say, indeed, has the Lord God? No, he said, indeed, has God said? Has the all-powerful one, has he said? Well, he left out the whole thing about relating to God. Which means he doesn't care how much we talk about God in here. He doesn't care how much we worship, how much we play, how much we raise our hands, how much we dance, how much we sing. He doesn't care as long as we don't relate to him. He don't want us to relate to the very one that we're doing this. That's the reason we can be religious without being in relationship. You know, I have been a, let me say this, if I can say, I have been a religious little cuss. Because when people would run into the religion that I carried, it'd make them want to cuss, because it was, oh, y'all, yeah, I was born again. But was fashioned by religious people and became a religious zealot in my early Christian life. All the works, all the details, all the do's, all the check marks. Scott was little and was going to Carowinds. He was 5 years old, something like that. We made plans to go to Carowinds. Well, the preacher stood up the Sunday before was going on. Before the Saturday, and he said, I want every man that's in this house, I want you to be here Saturday. We're going to pick bricks up, clean bricks, and get ready for the new building. I want every man here. Are y'all hearing me? You know what this religious little cuss did? Listen, I was born again, but was molded after religion. And not in relationship, not after relationship. Even though I had a relationship with him, it was a religious one, even though I was born again. So I told Brenda, well, you know, we won't be able to go to Carowinds this weekend. Why is that? So I got to go pick up bricks and stuff for God. What? Yeah, I got to go pick up bricks for God. But we've already made plans. I know, but God's first. I told you I was religious. It made no difference, you know, that we'd made plans. So all of a sudden, you can be fashioned and formed by a world that is not God, even though it talks about God. It talks about God, but our relationship was not really with God. Why? Because Jesus said, let your yea be yea, and let your nay be nay. So if you said yes, let it be yes. If you said no, let it be no. Bible also says, swear to your own hurt. So if you said you're going to do this, what should you do? Do it. But I was brought up in the thing about religions that, okay, you know, if I turn, I can't do that. God needs me to pick up bricks. Yeah. See, the reality of religion is very ugly when it becomes religious about works, about doing, about things. That's my check mark. That's my check mark. That's my check mark. So don't be religious. And I'll be very honest with you. I'm still working some of that out. I know y'all didn't want to hear that, but that's okay. Every once in a while, it'll show up. Okay. It probably doesn't with y'all. It's fine. So he left out the talk about the relationship with God, and therefore we don't major on the relationship, we major on the religion. And is it amazing to me that the first conversation with humans outside of God, the first conversation with humans was about this religion. It was about religion without relationship. God's all about relationship. And like I said before, he doesn't mind having a conversation that has God involved in it. He just doesn't want you to know the truth about it. And he doesn't want you to have a relationship that walks out what God is saying. Number four. It said that the snake was doing the talking. Do you know, when you look at it, here's a point that I want to make in this. Every creature God made. And what?
It was good.
And it was good. Including what? The snake. Satan is using this snake. He's using something. Watch this. He's using something good to bring bad. Yep. Satan can easily use something good in order to convince you of something that's bad. Are you? Did y'all get that?
Yes.
Ask somebody, did you get that? See, he's not limited to just bad stuff. He'll use something good to turn you and to think you and to make you think something bad about God, but he'll use something good to do it. See, that's another scheme that the enemy uses. See, and even this snake, God even said that they're to have dominion over it. So we're in conversation with a creature that God said, you have dominion over it. And that's what the good brother back here is saying about all authority. He said, he's giving you all authority and all power. What should we realize? We've got authority and power. See, the enemy tries to infiltrate our thinking in such a way that he brings his own purposes, even if he's using something that is good. Here's an example. This person can sing. I mean, sing. But this person's life is, the churches fell into some of this. We really don't care how you live, just as long as you can sing. I'm not saying this house, I'm saying church can be that. We don't really care how you live, just as long as you can do what we want you to do. So that's using something that is good, and it comes out to be evil. Why? Because you're leading people astray. Jesus talked about the worship of people that were religious. He said it was void. It was empty. Why is that? Because they were not true worshipers. They were worshipers, but they were not true worshipers. That's what Jesus said. He said the Father is looking for true worshipers. He's not looking for worshipers. He's looking for true worshipers. Those that worship God in spirit and in what? Truth. In spirit and in truth. That's what the Father's looking for. True worshipers. Are y'all learning anything? Okay. That was number four. Number five, another strategy that the enemy has is he doesn't want you to recognize him when he shows up. I don't know. has the enemy ever approached your life and said, "I'm here and I'm going to destroy you"? Nope. "I'm going to take you out." No, he hadn't done that with me. He's always subtle, crafty, tricky, sneaky. I've never seen him in horns and a pitchfork and a tail. There's a song, I hesitate, I shouldn't even bring this up probably, but I'm gonna. There's a song that says, "Somebody's knocking. Should I let them in? Lord, it's the devil. Would you look at him? He didn't come with all the pitchfork and all the horns, but he came wearing blue jeans and had blue eyes." Somebody actually did a song about that. I don't know. But it had some reality to it. Why? Because he doesn't show up as this mean creature all the time. But he doesn't want you to see it. He wants you to see something else. He wants you to see things that are, you think is, that he wants to convince you of, that you think is good for you. That's what he did with Eve. He distracts us from seeing what he is really about. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, it says this: there's going to be men that are false prophets, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. You know, that's the reason the Bible says, "Know those who labor among you." Amen. Know who they are. Because they can be tricky. Satan's a counterfeiter. He counterfeits doctrines, miracles, spirits, teachers, teaching, pastors. You know, do you think you have counterfeit pastors? Yes. Nobody wants to talk about that. They'd rather talk about counterfeit apostles, counterfeit prophets, which we got that too. But it doesn't limit it to that. A lot of churches will limit it to that. But a pastor is good either way. It doesn't matter. No, you got counterfeit pastors. Bible talks about counterfeit shepherds. Go read Ezekiel about what he says about counterfeit shepherds. It ain't good. See, there are some people behind pulpits that should not be behind pulpits. But the church wanted them. Is this heavy today? Don't mean for it to be. I want our eyes to be open. He didn't mind a counterfeit conversation, because the reality of what he wants is not what you want to talk about. It's what he wants to talk about. Oh, here's one. Number six, he said, you shall not eat of any tree. Well, that's not what God said. Did God say you shall not eat of any tree? No, he didn't say that. He said you can eat of every tree but one. See, he left out everything that God said you could do, and focused on one that he said you can't do. So one of his strategies is to talk about what God is holding out on you. He didn't talk about everything that God had given that they could eat from. But see, we should major on the thing that God has done. See, when we start majoring on what God has not done, we have forgotten everything that God has done. We need to be talking about everything that God has done. How many of you have been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice of? That's what we need to be talking about. We need to be talking about what God has done. How many of you have had deliverance in your life? I mean, raise both hands if you've been delivered from something in your life. See, we need to be talking about what God has done. I'm still struggling with this. Okay, we're still struggling with this, but what has God done? Are you hearing me? What has God done? See, the Bible says over in Psalm 66, verse 5, says, come see the works of God. Come see the works of God. Come and see the works of God. You know, anybody that's watching you, and trust me, they're watching. They're seeing the works of God. Hopefully most of the time. They're seeing the works of God. Come see the works of God, who is awesome in his deeds. He's awesome in his deed toward the sons of men. Psalm 74:12 says, yet God is my king. He's the king of old, who works deeds of deliverance in the midst of this earth. See, I'm one whom has been delivered. How about you? Yes. You have been delivered. Raise your hand. That's what we need to be talking about. It's not about, oh, this hadn't worked out. This hadn't worked out. That hadn't worked out. Well, now you're focusing on everything that God hadn't done. Focus on things that God has done. And then you're going to see more things that he will do. Psalm 75:1, men shall declare thy wondrous works. See, we ought to be making declarations to people. What? I tell you, give me one person that can stand up right now and declare something about God's works. Who is that? Get it. Go for it. Amen. There you go. Amen. And men shall declare. Now, see, that's a declaration. You know where he ought to say that? On aisle 7. That's where the prunes are. No. I'm messing with you. I have no idea where the prunes are. I really don't. That was an inside word that came out. Listen, I know it don't get any better than this. It really doesn't. See, the thing about God is that he uses the devil to bring us closer to God. Okay. Number 7, he reduces the command down to a question. The Bible said God commanded. Satan said, did God really say? See, all of a sudden, when it's a question instead of something that God said for us to go do, now we're raising up a question, which means, that's not a command anymore. That's just a question. Should I do it? Should I not do it? That's what the enemy wants to do. Bring God's will to a place that, it's just a suggestion. That's how the enemy works. You just need to know that with every no, with every no that God gives you, it is an open door for the abundance of his yes. With every no that God gives you, he gives you a doorway to experience the abundance of his yeses. She gave up eating from every tree because she did not do the no. They were set outside the garden. See, here's the thing about it. When God says don't do it, we should not do it. When God says do it, we ought to do it. Why is that? Because we're Christians. We're Christ followers. Not just religious folk coming for a service, singing, praising, and listening. No, we're Christ followers. We take action. We move and have our being in him. Number 8, the strategy of the enemy. He wants us to believe that God is taking away our freedom. He said in the Bible, you shall freely eat. That's a lot of freedom. With every restriction that he has, there's more freedom that's in place that we need to experience. He just says, just don't do this. Okay. 9. The enemy tries to convince you that God is selfish. He knows that you'll be like him. He knows that you'll be like God, like him. You're already created in his image, but he's convincing people that if you're like God, you don't have to submit to him, because if you're like God, you're equal with God. And if you're equal with God, you don't have to submit. Doug, when you was working at this place over in Gaffney, if you were co-equals, did they boss you around? No. Who bossed you? The one that was higher up. The one that was same equal. You didn't boss each other around. Why is that? Because you're like them. The enemy wants us to be convinced that if we're like God, then we don't have to submit to God. And we'll gain our knowledge without God because we want our independence. He wants us to believe that we really need our independence from God. There's more to say about that, but don't have time. Last one. He will influence you to change your point of view. She saw what the Bible said that she saw. She saw that the tree was good for food, saw that it was delight to her eyes, and saw that it was desirable to make her wise. He convinced her to see things from his perspective and not from God's perspective. That is huge. how we see circumstances, we need to see them from God's perspective, not from the enemy's perspective. But she was able to say, oh, this is, and by the way, notice at the end, there's no conversation about evil. Evil's dropped out of the conversation. We're not even talking about that anymore. But she said, man, I see that this is good for food. And then she had a delight. She was increased in her emotions to be able to indulge. And then she was increased in her intellect, because now I can be wiser just by disobeying God. You know, God has made a way for us to become everything that He said we are. But we need to be wise to the enemy's tactics, to his strategies. And the Bible tells us, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. See, when our untransformed soul begins to indulge in things that God is wanting us, that the enemy is wanting us to do, our soul needs to be transformed. Don't be conformed. Don't be molded into the world's mold. But be transformed, your mind, your will, and emotion. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind when your mind is aligned with God's thinking. And then you'll know what the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You'll prove what it is. How will you prove it? You'll do it in action of your living. And that's God's way. So let's not be ignorant of the enemy's schemes. Let's be more aware of it. Amen? All right. Let's stand to our feet. God, we thank you that we have this wonderful opportunity to be together to discuss your word and to hear from you through the power of the Holy Spirit. God, I pray that you'll open our eyes. Matter of fact, let me pause for a moment and say, how many of you want to be more aware of the enemy's strategies and his trickeries? Wave at me. You want to be more aware of it. See, that's all of us. So, Father, you see all the hands. You see that, Lord, we want that. We want to be able to recognize the enemy's plan so we don't have to indulge in it, so we can do what you want us to do regardless of what the enemy says. Awaken us that when we walk out this door, we'll be more aware that the enemy's at work just like you are, but we choose to follow you. Give us wisdom that is beyond our understanding, Lord, that we will know. We will eat of the tree of wisdom. And therefore, you said the tree of wisdom is the tree of life. So give us food today that would make us wise to the enemy's schemes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you. Don't forget. God bless you. Don't forget Family Life Center. We have all those goodies down there that you can go grab hold of. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.